Why the finite can never become the infinite. This is Russ Dizdar with the organization Shatter the Darkness, and I come to engage. I know right now there's going to be those who are Luciferians that are going to listen to this, whether from the halls of the Masons, whether New Agers who are into this spiritual evolution and your desire to become, you know, the Christ, deity, spiritually evolved beings. Whether you're from the traditional Satanists and other Satanists who believe, you know, that Lucifer was cheated, that he is really the true God, that Jehovah is the bad God, and you have written about this in many of your own writings. I mean, we can take a historical look at some of the writings from the Masons, from Manly Hall, from Alice Bailey, from Helena Blavatsky, from Aleister Crowley, from Rudolf Steiner. You can go on and on and on, even to this very day, Benjamin Krim. You can look at many different books right now. You can go to any bookstore, Borders, wherever it might be, and you can read all kinds of new information. Many are beginning to write about Lucifer, and really, it's an alarming thing because it seems as though that the old doctrine that began in the heavenlies has found its way not only in the ancient days of Moloch and the other gods and goddesses of the Old Testament, but I'm talking about all the way back in the beginning. I mean, even before the beginning of the heavens and the earth. I mean, before Adam and Eve were created, before the human race, Adam. We have in the heavenlies this anointed cherub that once covered, this one who walked among the fiery stones of God, this one who engaged infinity with tremendous power, with incredible abilities, with tremendous beauty, with, I mean, this being was so vast and so great and so incredible. But in the Word of God, the revelation of God, we find that something occurred. And even Luciferians today and Satanists today, in all my conversations with you, it is very, very clear. It is very, very clear that the Lucifer you talk about right now, the Lucifer that you engage right now, is not the anointed cherub that was written about in Ezekiel 28 prior to his fall. The anointed cherub that covered is now the fallen cherub. The Bible would give a revelation of his nature, calling him Satan. He is now the adversary. He is now the deceiver when it comes to his relationship to God and all that God created. Yes, he took one third of the angels of heaven. Yes, he is a powerful being. Yes, he still holds power. He still has, you know, might. He still has supernatural operative powers. No question about that. His power is in persuasion. His powers are being used for his own agenda. So when we talk about Lucifer, I'm going to talk about what many of you know is a real being. Some of you have engaged. Some of you have told me that he has shown up in your rituals. And there have been those who have written about it. Think about it. And I've got Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma here in my own library right before me. David Spangler's works and Alice Bailey's works and Helena's works and Rudolf Steiner's works and Manly Hall and Benjamin Krim and others. Many others. Ancient rituals that I've read through and saw, you know, their descriptions. And I have here in front of me the Devil's Bible by the Cathedral of the Black Goat, one of the priests, who's written again about Lucifer being the real light bearer, the one's going to give the gnosis, the knowledge, the one's going to take everybody higher, the one that frees us from the scourge of Jehovah. Listen, I want to go over some of the principles of those who believed in Lucifer, those who believe in a Luciferic doctrine, those who believe that Lucifer was once cheated, you know, and robbed of his rightful place, and that he's coming back to power and that he's gaining ground. I will give you the fact that even Scripture tells us that Lucifer is gaining ground, that Lucifer will come. God has prophetically given us pictures that he will deeply influence politics, he will deeply influence military, and deeply influence religious systems. That he will one day come to power in a counterfeit incarnation. So many of you know his powers, you know his works, you know what he's doing right now in your meetings, and many of you have quoted. I mean, I've got materials here from Alice Bailey and others that the Ascended Master, you know, speaks through her, talking about Lucifer and his arrival, his coming to the world around us. And even in Alice Bailey's writings, you can read about how that there's a need of cleansing of those Christians, those who believe in a different spiritual stream, that if we do not come and surrender to this spiritual evolution that is coming, that we are to be cleansed. And literally that means to be eradicated, exterminated, if necessary, because we block the way. Something is blocking the way. Now listen, you might understand that. You may know that in the secret corridors, in those elitist wealthy homes, in those double basements, in those laboratories where you've engaged the powers, and you've literally you've been communicated to. I believe Hitler was communicated to, and those around him, Billy God, and all the rest of them. I believe that Crowley was spoken to. I believe that Jack Parsons was engaged. I believe that Alice Bailey has not only been spoken to, but the extra-dimensional beings have spoken through them. I believe that David Spangler is literally talking about spiritual things that he's engaged. David Spangler, father of the New Age, who believes in the Luciferic invocation, that we can all become like Christ, and that as we move more and more and more to the New Age, that we will be initiated into this New Age in which we become the Christs, and that we have a spiritual evolution to Godhood. My friends, that is what the old Gnostics taught. The Gnostics taught that we can become that. There is a doctrine that has been unleashed, that has been recorded in Genesis chapter 3 thousands of years ago. It is a doctrine of spiritual evolution, that we can obtain Godhood, that we can become like God. It is the doctrine that tells us spiritually that God's not good, that we need to literally believe this other premise, that God is cheating us, that God is robbing us, that God is stealing from us, and therefore this God who is stealing and robbing from us, we need to switch sides, that we need to come to one who would open our eyes to spiritual initiations and evolution in our own being, and that we can obtain power, that we can obtain ability, that we can be blessed. I mean, you read some of the rituals. Some of the rituals to Lucifer himself, saying that I will give my life, I'll give my soul for what you give me in this earthly domain. There are pacts with the devil in their own blood that are recorded in some of the ancient books. You can read about a lot of those. There is always going to be a trade-off. Lucifer is always going to want you to engage him, to believe his word, take in his presence, and begin to promote his agenda. And there's different levels of that. Traditional Satanists, as I mentioned, the Cathedral of the Black Goat and the Devil's Bible, there's tremendous descriptions about how you can engage Satan, that Lucifer is the true light bearer, he's the true God, and that you guys need to give him everything. There's even rituals in the back of that book that will show any person how to renounce Christ, to renounce God, to renounce the Bible, to do everything you can to desecrate and to throw out of your life God, Christianity, the church, and to give yourself to Satan and to engage Satan. Now, Anton LaVey was a little bit different in his belief about a personal Satan, but that same sense of spiritual elitism was there. The same sense of hatred towards God, of Christ, and the cross was there. You can look at hundreds of websites of Satanism, as I have, and engage some of them and some of the Luciferians that have put their materials on websites and have unleashed their doctrines and their belief systems and their recruiting. But there's also the ancient halls, the Masonic halls, the secret places where so many of you meet. There is the Black Flame, the ancient brotherhood. There's the brotherhood that has been growing with this intensity since the Nazi regime of some 60 years ago. So I've sat down with many Satanists, those who know the powers and know the rituals and know ancient languages. They've described to me rituals. They've described to me and written down languages and shown me things and shown me rituals and have drawn out things. And and discussed their engagement with the demons. Now listen, we've done many engagements with their demons too. Because listen, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, which is going to bother some of you. I'm a believer in the Word of God, that they are living words, and that God loves us, and that God is infinite, and that what you're dealing with is in every piece of what you're dealing with is finite. I believe that with many of you, Luciferians and Brotherhooders and others, that you're dealing with not only the finite, but you're dealing with the mask, that you've literally engaged the mask. You've literally embraced the mask. You're believing in the mask. You're holding to the mask. You're pledging allegiance to the mask. But there's something behind the mask that is horrific. The mask tells you things. The mask promises you things. The mask demonstrates power and flame and might and voice. The mask engages you and convinces you. Yes, I know that. Outside of the aid of the Spirit of the living God, of the living Christ, and the Word of God, it is very easy, I believe, to be convinced by that Luciferic mask. I mean, Albert Pike was to such a degree that he's written about Lucifer and Alice Bailey. And again, all the rest of those writers, European writers, the black nobility, the black rooms of the infiltrated Catholic Church. You're embracing simply the finite. And yes, you're seeing a supernatural operative power in that Luciferic doctrine and Luciferic presence and Luciferic teaching. I give you that. I acknowledge the Word of God shows that Satan has power, that Lucifer does have the ability to engage humanity, and that he's been doing it for thousands of years, since the very day he got the legal basis to break into humanity and begin to operate in humanity. David Spangler from some of you New Agers tells us very clearly that Lucifer is already operating in all of us. And to a degree, I agree, because the Word of God in Ephesians, and listen, go read it. I mean, pick up a Bible once. I know for some of you who are Luciferians, you wouldn't even touch it. Some of you will read it with demonically coded eyes and perception. Some of you can't even touch it because of the presence within you revolts against it. Some of you listening to me right now, there's a presence in you that is saying, shut it off, turn it off, don't listen to this. I understand that, because the spirit that you are a part of is opposite of the spirit that I'm a part of. There is a spirit of error and the spirit of truth as described in revealed theology in the book of 1 John chapter 4. I understand that, and even you know the battle. Many of you Luciferians have engaged the battle. You've yielded and you've learned a cultic level warfare. You're literally praying in the Luciferic day, the day in which there's an evolution, an activation, a thing that will occur that will shift everything. And you've heard this in the New Age. You've heard this among your meetings with Satan in those listen, prophetic words that you get, those spirits that have spoken through. Alice Bailey allowed the Ascended Masters to speak through her. So did Helena. So did so many of them. And they're all going to say the same thing. God in heaven is bad. Lucifer is good. They're going to present the mask. And you are, if you are a Luciferian, if you are a traditional Satanist, if you are a brotherhood, or if you are a satanic chosen one, then many of those on the inside, you have believed the mask and only the mask. And I'm going to tell you right now that the mask is like, it is like that flaming head in the movie The Wizard of Oz. The flaming head that has power and might and speaks and terrifies and does all that and controls the city and controls the people. But you don't understand that behind that mask is the man behind the curtain. The real Lucifer, the real Satan, the fallen cherub. And for thousands of years, that finite being has sought to become the infinite. That finite being has desired to become the infinite. He has done all that he can to engage humanity. He fought it out in heaven and lost and was thrown down. Yes, he took a third of the angels with him, and they serve. And their nature is like his nature. And the more you embrace the true Luciferian doctrine, your nature will become more and more like his. And you're going to find part of that nature deals, and maybe you've acquired an insatiable hatred towards God, towards Christ, towards the blood of Christ and the cross, towards Christians, and you have such a literal, I believe Satan holds such bitterness. Lucifer holds such bitterness. But then again, through his revelation to Albert Pike, Benjamin Krim, Aleister Crowley, through Manly Hall, through so many of the occult writers, through David Spangler, Alice Bailey, many of the other writers that those of you in the Theosophical Society embrace, in secret societies, you embrace those teachings. And I want to say it again to you that you are embracing the mask and you're not understanding. And I'm going to encourage you to go to the logical conclusions, because in all of the writings that you have read, all of the secret things behind the scene, even in the powers and the things that you feel that Lucifer has given you and that ritual has given you and that your spiritual practices has given you, and maybe you feel you've evolved spiritually to a level and you can leave your body or allow things to come into your body and you have numerous spiritual engagements, I'm going to still ask you, have you ever become infinite? Do you know anybody who was once finite that became infinite? Can you describe in the readings and in the books and materials and even the secret things that you have read and have spoken? Have you ever seen the hint of immeasurability, limitlessness? The idea that what you're reading and engaging is truly that the finite has become infinite, and that somehow you've been promised that you will evolve, listen, into this infinite godlike state. Lucifer promises things. He promised things to Jesus Christ when the Son of God appeared. The ancient dragon, Revelation 12, was waiting. He knew the prophecies of God. He understands the prophecies of God. He understands the Word of God. He tries to outrun. He sees the truth, but he battles against it. It's what he's been doing since the moment of his fall. He's been fighting and battling. And the Bible describes that there is no truth left in him, that he is completely blackened spiritually in that sense. Oh, I'm not saying he's not spiritual. He's a spiritual being. But he's been altered to the core of, if he has DNA, to the core of his DNA. There's been a massive mutation, and his infection has been brought to the human race. And the human race, once created to be the apex of God and image bearers of God as the highest pinnacle of expression, we were incredible in our creation. As even the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, sang in praise to God concerning your creation, humanity's creation. But we are not like we were. Since the fall of the human race, we do not know. We have in no sense in our own, even in the so-called ancestral memory. We have nothing in our actual memory what it felt like to be innocent, what it felt like to be eternal. Adam and Eve were eternal beings. They were in innocence. They were in direct relationship with God. Their nature and the core of their nature and their DNA was one. But when the exchange occurred, the exchange of the living God, the infinite for the finite being, who promised them, number one, that they would become like God, that God was lying to them, that God was cheating them, that God would... I mean, this is what he said. This is the same thing I see in all of the writings that I've read. And that's why I'm trying to engage those of you who are Luciferian and those of you who've come from those backgrounds. I don't care, you know, Listen, engage the logical conclusion. Sit down and grip. Put your hands before your face right now. Count the fingers on your hands. 10. Listen, I have 2 hands and I have these 10 fingers and I can pick up a rock and throw it through a window. I have ability. I have power. I can push over the desk that I'm here. I can strike a match and burn the books in this office. But there's things that I can't do. There's things I can't go to the Empire State Building and jump off and land and walk away from that. I can't make myself live physically forever. I have a heart that pumps blood through the rest of my system, and that heart continues to pump and pump and pump and pump and pump because there is a presence behind that. I am both physical and spiritual, as are you. But I am finite, and I have no problem understanding that I am finite. I have no problem understanding there is a vast, vast difference between the finite and the infinite. Listen, there are football players. I cannot play football like Brett Favre from the Green Bay Packers. I admire his abilities and his tenacity. I appreciate such a man as Brett Favre. I cannot do what he does. I have no problem with that. Many Luciferians and those committed, I mean, you want powers and powers and powers. And some of you that I've engaged over the years, even in power encounters where the demons screamed out and they confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord and they acknowledged who they really were and they showed themselves with, some of you still wanted those powers. You did not want to lose your powers that you acquired. You wanted to be a superhuman being. You wanted to be an elitist. You wanted to be evolved to the point that you were beyond the normies out here, the regular human beings. You believe that you've been given powers and you knew you had to give them up to gain the living Christ, to gain the power of God, to gain the gift. But listen, you've never done that. You've never really tasted of the power and might of God. That's why I'm saying it's so easy to embrace the mask, the power of the mask, the knowledge of the mask, the Luciferic principle, when you have never, engaged the living presence of the immeasurable, infinite God. And so I'm going to engage you in just a little bit here because I want to tell you that a few of the things about descriptions and definitions of infinite. And I want you to know above everything else that the infinite that I'm going to describe is the most relational and personal being in existence, that we have not come from nothing. I hope it's okay I put it that way. That something has come from something. Something hasn't come from nothing. Personhood has not come from non-personhood. It is very important that you and I understand, listen, if we are going to say, and you might be a person that is really a spiritual quester, a seeker, and you really truly do, you want spiritual depth and ability and power, and you want this, maybe you want deification, maybe you want it, maybe you know what, there are some of you that I have met that you sit there with this grimace of, it's almost like, sometimes I look at you and I think, you will never change, you will never release the mask. And obviously you don't know who's behind the mask. Obviously you don't know really what's going on behind the mask. Judas, I don't think, knew what was going on behind the mask. The masses in the coming days that shall engage what we call the Antichrist, the little horn, the beast, the man of lawlessness, the one who sets himself up in the temple of God and declares himself to be God and is to be worshipped and to have everything above anything that is called God. You don't understand that the principle behind the mask that you embrace, he will never, listen, he has never in the past and never will in the present and definitely never will in the future bring any one of his subjects to godhood, to deity, to deification. The spiritual evolution that he promises is a spiritual counterfeit. It's a disintegration. You are a finite being. You whom I speak to are simply a finite being. Though you say you've acquired power demons and you know rituals and you have many demons living within, maybe you're a satanic chosen one and believe that you have tremendous abilities and powers and you're waiting for the day of activation so that you can receive the promises that have been told you over the years. The promises from a finite being can never lead you to infinite engagement, nature, presence. By taking a road leading east, you can never get west. You are a finite being, and all the powers that you hold, and all, even those of you who've done rituals against me, those of you who've written to me and said that you are sending things and you know, and those of you who hide in secrecy and you play games with people's lives and you steal the souls of men, listen, you do not understand that your soul has been stolen. That what you've committed yourself to, and that's why I want you to take a few moments and go through in logical sequence who you are and what you believe and what you've engaged. Let me ask you clearly the question why you really hate God and really hate Christ and really discard the concept of a living, loving God. I'm gonna go over six things here in a few moments, things that I believe are part of your choice. But in all the readers and people that you can, both ancient readers and so forth, and those who are writing today, and maybe you're one of the writers, maybe you're writing about it yourself, maybe you're leading people, maybe you're into that whole principle, maybe you're a Sylvia Brown type. You know, I engage her book on her writings of who really Christ is. And again, she has the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible describes that as the spirit of Antichrist. As a matter of fact, anybody who teaches and preaches, whether it's an angel, claims to be an angel, or another person, an inspired person, that describes a different Jesus other than the Jesus of the prophets, of Moses, of Samuel, of the Psalms, of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, of the apostles, of the angels of God, Jesus, the Spirit of God reveals, the Father reveals. If anybody preaches a different one, the Spirit of God says they are to be eternally cursed. It is such a severe thing to present a different Christ. In the New Age, there is a presentation of the different Christ. In every cult system, whether the Moonies, the Way International, whatever else, there is a presentation of a different Christ. The Mormons, a presentation of a different Christ. Remote viewers, all of the remote viewers that I've read, almost every one of you that I've read, some that I've engaged, you know, the Christ that you say you believe in is not the Christ of Isaiah, not the Christ of Jeremiah, not the Christ of the angels of God, not the Christ of Michael the Archangel or Gabriel. The Christ that you're referring to is a counterfeit Christ. The Christ presence or the Christ consciousness that you've been promised is not the Christ of Scripture, not the Christ revealed, who is the exact representation of the very being and nature of God. He's the icon of God. You can read about it in Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image. He is the seeable one of the invisible, infinite, immeasurable God became man. In the incarnation, the DNA of that miracle is massive. And I beg you to engage the concept of incarnation. You might understand the issues of Nephilim and the DNA of Nephilim and the bloodline of the Nephilim. You may understand the demonic powers in the Aryan races. You may understand the power that is in the blood on the dark side, the left-hand path side. Satan uses blood to operate in and through also. But there's also a bloodline that was so pure that goes back all the way to Adam, and that Jesus came on the human side from that bloodline. And there's a reason for that. The infinite God housed himself in finite humanity. The incarnation is almost incomprehensible. And infinity is truly incomprehensible You cannot understand and fathom infinity on an infinite level. Because you, my friend, are finite. Whatever you've experienced, whatever you've engaged, whatever you've seen, whatever your abilities, leave your body, send powers, do things, move things, telekinesis, PK man, whatever you have acquired, you're still in the realms of finite. And the Luciferic doctrine, the Luciferian spiritual teaching will constantly pump itself to you that you'll become more, that you'll become more, that you'll get to deification, that you'll get to an awry. Let me ask you a question. Among all of those ancient Gnostics and among the revival of Gnostics today, in the those who love the Gospel of Mary, the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, the Gnostic Gospel of Judas, and you engage those books as if there's something high and mighty and spiritually engaging in those Gnostic Gospels and Gnostic writings, and somehow you try to equate them with the real scriptures of the Spirit of God. See, there's the Spirit of God who penned words, and there are spirits who also inspired words. They are coming from two separate sources. They come with two different revelations. They come with two different formats, and they present, ultimately, two different persons. Lucifer, a finite being, though with great powers and might in the as far as the angels are concerned, he has powers, great powers. As far as humanity is concerned, he has great powers. As far as God is concerned, God is impassable. There's nothing that Lucifer can do to impinge God. There's nothing to do that Satan can do to impale God. The finite just cannot harm the infinite. When we speak about infinite, we talk about the attributes of God, infinity. Infinity, infinite in power, infinite in purity, infinite in wisdom, infinite in knowledge, infinite in presence, infinite in locality, infinite, unbound, unlimited. Listen, when you begin to go through the logical conclusion concerning what infinite is and compared to a finite being, then you're going to see a vast difference. And what I'm going to tell you is there is an incredible, incredible offer that this infinite being makes to you. I don't care if you're the elitist that has the multi-million-dollar house with the two basements and you've engaged Lucifer for the last 60 years of your life and you've been promised, you know, whatever you've been promised, I'm telling you that there is today something that I'm going to tell you that the Infinite One wants to promise you, a finite being, because you're not yet dead. If you're listening, you're not yet dead. There's one issue that all of us have to deal with, that once you die, it is over. In the revealed revelation of Scripture, it is appointed a man once to die. After that, there is a judgment. In the ancient Scripture of Ecclesiastes, when a man dies, his spirit leaves and goes back to God, the infinite God. We don't go back to Lucifer. We don't go back because he's not the source. He's not the creator of humanity. He is the manipulator of humanity. Well, let me go over some of the things here, because I want to get to the six reasons why I believe some of you who are Luciferians, Brotherhooders, Black Flamers, Masons, New Agers, Gnostics, Psychics, Wiccans and Pagans included, the spiritual stream that you have. If you back it up, if you think it through, I can almost guarantee you that somewhere is the principle of you need to reject the God of heaven and you need to engage this spiritual stream so that you can reach a spiritual level you've never had before. Somewhere there is that concept in your spiritual quest outside of the infinite God. Let me give some descriptions here. I'm going to give you some descriptions, and I'm also going to have linked to the webpage that you've gone to if you want to take the time to look, that comes from Dr. Gill, and a great old theologian that has written a tremendous piece on the infinity of God. And I'm going to just quote some of it and look over some of it. Here's one of the quotes. The next attribute of God is to be considered is his infinity. When we say that God is infinite, the meaning is that he is unbound and unlimited and unmeasurable or immense, unsearchable. And at a certain level, let me say this, he's incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend the entire depth of God. You would have to be the infinite, immeasurable God to understand. God is so big, so vast, so deep, so wide, so broad that if you was to take a backpacking trip and launch yourself into God's infinity, you would never come out. This attribute chiefly respects and includes the omniscience, the omnipresence rather, and the omniscience and the eternity of God. We're talking here in the descriptions of the attributes of God that, yes, God is spirit, that he is uncreated spirit. He is before all time. He is unbound by time, unbound by time, unbound by space. He exists without time and space. He exists without all of creation around him. He is not limited to creation. He is beyond creation. He is the first being, and some have said, and the old theologians said, he is the uncaused cause, the prime mover, the uncreated creator, the furthest one back, if you want to say there is a back, and there is no back to God. There's a scripture that says, before him there is no God formed, neither shall there be after him. Yea, he is the first and the last. Isaiah 43:10 on. He's an independent being. He's independent of his creatures, his creation. He's independent of his of all that is out there. All that you study, listen, maybe you're into physics, maybe you've read the book, The Physics of Immortality, where a theory has been presented that we are all going to be immortal based on physics. That there is a description in his book, The Physics of Immortality, that he has gone beyond the theologians and everybody else, and he's presenting to us an ultimate truth that we're all going to be immortal based on physics and calculations. Well, let me tell you something, that here is a truth, that every one of us that are you who are listening and I who speak right now, we are all beings who will live forever. But what side of the fence of forever we live on has everything to do with our choices now, and understanding the difference between finite and infinite, the differences between Lucifer and the living Christ who died on a cross and rose and shed his blood for you. Let me go on to say some of the things from this Dr. Gill. It's a tremendous thing, and if you want to read some of it yourself directly, I put it on the webpage. God is infinite in all his attributes, and which are indeed himself, his nature, and has been observed and are separately considered by us as a relief to our mind. I mean, in other words, he's saying that we sometimes, as theologians, break down attributes so that we can begin to describe and understand the osity of God and the pure actuality of God, referring to that he really exists, that he's an actual being, that he is the source of his own living presence and power. God doesn't plug himself into anything. He doesn't have to get recharged. He doesn't sleep to re-energize his being. There is no sense of fading in God, no sense of the second law of thermodynamics, and there is no decay in God. In the universe, there is. Obviously, in humanity, listen, as you've been listening to me, I'm sorry to tell you this, you have aged some 38 minutes already. You have gone from 1 minute to the next minute to the next minute, and you cannot stop time. You are in this process, and your body is getting older and older and older and older. I know you are telling me now, Russ, please shut up. Listen, I know what it is to be 50 years old at this point in my life. I feel pretty good, and I can still mountain jog in the woods and do quite a few things. But I know what it is to get up in the morning also and feel the stiffness. I know that I cannot run like a 25-year-old. Although some of you couch potatoes, I can run circles around. God is infinite. God is immeasurable, unbound. We're talking about his power, his goodness, his purity. We're talking about God being immense. We're talking about God, in as far as infinity is concerned, it's not just the idea of a succession like on a chain where you go from one loop to the next loop to the next loop to the next loop to the next loop. The infinity of God deals with the sense of his presence also. God's presence is infinite. God's knowledge is infinite. See, I'm learning from the one who has all knowledge and all wisdom, and I'm learning from, he's the one that I learn from. Even the Word of God tells you, listen, tells all of us. There's a revelation in the book of Colossians specifically spoken to deal with Gnostics in the early church, the ascetics and the Corinthians, and to deal with Gnosticism in the early church, where it says, in Christ, in Him, are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So whatever your spiritual theme is right now, if it is outside of God, if you're a Luciferian in whatever dimensions, again, Satanist, whatever else, I am only engaging you to say this. It is not about a battle of argumentation, of winning a battle of information here. Everything I'm doing at this point is about your soul. Everything I'm doing right now is about your life. See, I feel inside of me the coursing of the very presence of God, who cries out as the ultimate relational being to you, that He loves you, that He wants you, that He desires you, that He's provided a way in which you can embrace infinity, immensity, that you can be astounded. And there is no mask here, my friends. There is no mask here. There's no secret initiation to take you one step into the next step, to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. You see, the left-hand path initiations are always a step that, in our view, in my view, continues to darken your mind concerning the infinite God of heaven, and continue to illuminate your mind concerning the mask. The mask becomes brighter. The mask becomes more powerful. The mask becomes more seeable. The mask, all you're engaging is the mask. You've not gotten behind the mask. You need to look at the man behind the curtain, the source of the mask you embrace. When I read sometimes concerning the infinity of God, it just blows my mind to sit back. See, some of you, many of you who listen to me now, you do not know what it is. You simply do not know what it is to embrace, to feel this presence of God. I do. In the reception of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the gift of the Spirit of God comes into my life, and God transforms us with a transformation that touches the DNA of our life, that His presence then animates body, soul, and spirit, and animates us with such a presence and such a new nature and such, you know, the Bible calls it the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. That's why I'm telling you that the infinite being that I'm speaking to you about is not just the infinite being of force, of power, of immeasurability. This infinite, immeasurable being is relational in all that He is. He is infinitely relational. Infinitely personal, infinitely friendly, infinite love, infinite kindness, infinite grace, infinite mercy. And for so many of you that I've met over the years and seen the demonic presence and the powers that are inside of your life and the Luciferic doctrine that you've embraced, I have watched how many of you have come out of it. Many of you who have turned to God, you've noticed now the difference between the powers of darkness, the powers of that kingdom, and the power of God and the presence of God and the demonstration of Christ in your life. I'd like to read to you just one more little piece of this comes, and again, you can go look onto the web page that I give you. You can look at this, and I'm just going to describe again. Here it is coming. The word infinity. It means that God is limitless, measureless, and boundless. Divine infinity indicates that the limitations of finite creatures do not apply to Him. Let me say it again. Divine infinity indicates that the limitations of finite creatures do not apply to Him. Whatever God is, love, faithfulness, righteous, wise, etc., He is without limit, and whatever He is cannot be measured. He is not bound or restricted by space, time, or matter. There is no point, edge, or line confining God. No size or weight that can catalog Him. Let me say it again. He is without limit, and whatever he is cannot be measured. He is not bound or restricted by space, time, or matter. There is no point, edge, or line confining God, and no size or weight that can catalog him. One should, however, avoid the error of applying the mathematical idea of infinitude as an endless expansion in either time or space dimension to God. His being has neither a measurable beginning or a measurable end. He fills eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Such truth at times, listen, is incomprehensible. And that's another one of his attributes, that the infinite, immeasurable, immense God is incomprehensible in the sense that I can know God truly, as Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian from Labrie, has taught all of us. We can know God truly and experience God, and I can embrace God and know him truly, but I cannot know him exhaustively. God is infinite, and I, as a finite being, though I've been given the gift of immortality, though I know I shall be immortal, though I know that I have the gift of eternal life right now, though I know I shall see God face to face and embrace God, though I know him now and shall see him then, I shall never become infinite. I cannot. One of the major reasons that you, in the Luciferian doctrine, and those of you who are Luciferians, one of the number one reasons why you can never become infinite is because the finite can never become infinite, because you have to be infinite from the beginning, and there is no beginning. Finite has origin. Finite has beginning. Let me go over some of the principles. Infinite has no cause. Infinite has no limit. Infinite has no beginning. Infinite has no additions. Infinite, there is no evolution. God doesn't grow. God doesn't learn. God doesn't become. Infinite doesn't become. It always is, always was, always will be. That is the thrice holy thing spoken by the seraphs in Isaiah chapter 6. Study it, read it, see the revelation of the seraphs in their acknowledgement of the infinity of God, the immeasurability of God, the immensity of God. The finite cannot become the infinite, because you have to be infinite from the starting point. To be finite is a declaration that you never have been, never can become infinite. Can you embrace infinity? Yes, because the infinite one I speak about is infinite in his relationship, infinite in his love, infinite in his desire to have us in relationship to him. God has made a way that we can be in fellowship with him and know God and listen to God and hear God, to have a real relationship. If you're a Luciferian and you know the powers, if you're Benjamin Krim, if you were Aleister Crowley, if you were Rudolf Steiner, if you were Alice Bailey, if you were any of those, if you are one of the Black Flamers, Brotherhooders, my love for you is about your humanity. My love for you is about your humanity and what you were meant to be, what the cross declares. The cross declares that the infinite God loves you and has broken the barriers of the mask and can peer through and demonstrate and show to you. I would beg you, in the sight of the infinite God, the immeasurable God who wants you and desires you, to open up the Word of God, the book of John's Gospel, the book of Mark, and begin to study and read and simply cry out to the infinite God. Now, I know some of you can't do that because the powers within you will turn on you. And I pray for you today that if you're going to desire to find the infinite God and embrace infinity as a finite, redeemed being in Christ, as someone who finds the glorious transformation that is found in salvation that God offers. That's why the Apostle Paul can say, in the sight of the Empire of Rome and all the mystery religions that were there, he can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, the power of God unto salvation, a transformation that Titus chapter 3, verse 5 on down declares, a regeneration, a renewal of the construct of your very being, of engaging the very DNA in your being, of changing everything so that on the day when Christ descends out of the heavens and catches up in the twinkling of an eye, literally an atomic flash for you physicists out there. Oh, you need to study the scriptures. God knows more about physics than you do. I believe he knows more about it when you understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And many of you Luciferians have been attempting that. You've got rituals where you take people to death and try to resurrect them. Because the Antichrist, Lucifer, when he comes in, housed in a human being as a counterfeit incarnation, is going to do that very thing. A mortal wound in his head, and then he'll be a resurrection. It'll be again, once again, a counterfeit to the real Christ. A counterfeit resurrection, a counterfeit incarnation, a counterfeit power, a counterfeit Savior of the world. And yet you New Agers are embracing that very Lucifer, spirit of Lucifer now. You're embracing the very doctrine. Sylvia Brown and all the psychics like you, you're embracing the Antichristu, the spirit of Antichrist. To read a little bit more concerning the infinity of God, his being has neither a measurable beginning or a measurable end. He feels eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Such truth is incomprehensible to our finite minds. For we live in a limited world where all that we know has size and weight. Listen, Luciferian, all that you know, that's why you have books. That's why you read more. That's why you do rituals. That's why you engage. Some of you engage Lucifer and call upon him to give you more, to cause you to understand. And you seek more and more and more and more, which is a declaration of you being finite. You can only throw the rock in your hand so far. You can only throw powers so far. You can only attain so much. You can only stay awake and read so much. Your finite body needs its sleep. You can claim to be a remote viewer and go out and peer into things. And there are remote viewers now that are revealing that there's much more going on. That there's literally remote influence and remote touch. Some of the old ones used to call this psychic. There's such thing as psychic assassination. And so as you engage the Luciferian doctrine that tells you that you can spiritually evolve and experience all kinds of spiritual powers and workings, that there's an eclectic level of spiritual things that you can get yourself into. And the further you get yourself into, the more powers you're going to get, and the more evolved you're going to get, and the more superior you're going to get, and everything else. And what you do not realize is that you're being dragged off into the depths of an ancient dark forest. There is where you will be slaughtered. The field, Akaldama, the field of blood. Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If you gain insight from every demon, every ascended master, from Lucifer himself, what would you gain? What would you gain and yet lose your soul? Jesus valued your soul and your life above all that you can gain in the world around us, which would include Luciferic initiation, Luciferic doctrine, Luciferian spiritual evolution. Come out of it. Come out of it, my friend. Come out of it now. Come out of it and give the living, infinite God time to speak into your life. Allow his revelation to peer in through. Let him show you who truly is behind. See, the infinite God has the ability to peer and look through the mask and reveal who's behind the mask. He has done that in Scripture. He has done that in the Old Testament, done that in the New Testament. We see it very clearly. God's already pinpointed Lucifer's actions for the future. He's pinpointed and shown the glimpses of his infiltration into military and politics and religion. His eventual come to power. You all feel it in the air. You know that it's coming. Global catastrophe. The need for global, the call for a global order, global control, global world order, global government, global everything. Under who? Under what power? Tell me what nation has why do we think we're being sold a lie so deep, so broad, so wide? If there's been no nation in all of the fallen history that has been able to secure peace and order and longevity Why do we think that in combining all the nations together under one global rule, one global leadership, and one global economy is going to somehow bring us to a point of an Aquarian age? The age of Aquarius flows from the Luciferian doctrine of spiritual evolution to deification and deity. The problem in all these thousands of years since that promise was given to humanity is that no human has ever reached it. No Hindu, no Gnostic, no New Ager, no Black Flamer, no Brotherhooder, no Luciferian, not Aleister Crowley, not Alice Bailey, not Helena, not Rudolf Steiner, not Villigot, not a thousand others. No one who has followed the left-hand path has ever reached deity, deification, let alone through left-hand path alchemy, evolved from finite into infinite. Why? Because the true definition of infinity, of real infinite being, is that you were never finite. That you were never finite. Infinity, no cause, no limit, no beginning, no additions, no evolution, no learning, no growing. There is no circumference. There is no center for God in the locality of God, the attribute of locality. God is all-powerful in every place God is. God cannot be caged. Let me tell you something. On the other side of this, we have finite. Finite is caused. You have been caused. Finite has limitations. Without question, you have limitations. Satan has limitations. Lucifer has limitations. Finite has both beginning and end. Finite can be added to. Finite can evolve. When a child is born, a child's motor skills and everything, there's vast learning in the first 3 years of life. A child can learn to speak. A child can learn languages. A child can learn to play basketball. There is a learning process in the development of humanity. I have tremendous desires to master New Testament Greek in the manuscripts, in ancient manuscripts, a desire to master apologetics and New Testament biblical theology. I have 8,000 books sitting around me right now, and I love to read and study and read all kinds of things. I love physics, and I love the science, and I love things, but I also understand from a different perspective. I believe that as a believer in the living Christ and who's been transformed by this glorious salvation, that I have the ability through the Spirit of God to perceive things differently than you do who are outside of Christ. And one of the things that I would perceive is that you don't understand your own finite limitations. Ask yourself why you hate God, why there is such a wall between you and God. And it'll have to do with the spirits and the initiations and the engagement and doctrines that you believe. It will have to do with the sin nature that we have acquired. That nature is exactly like the nature of Lucifer himself, a nature that is hostile to God, that rebels against God, but that Jesus Christ came to transform, to break into, to free us from that nature. Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be free? Do you want the power of God? Do you want to embrace the infinite, personal, relational God that loves you, that will give you the gift of eternity and truly give you the gift of the Spirit of God, whereby you can intimately cry out, Abba, Father, and be embraced, and know that you will see God face to face? Then let me tell you something. You need to come to God. Let me go over just quickly here six of the reasons why. Six of the reasons why I believe that many of you have not yet come to God, have yet not come. I think there's reasons why you've embraced the limitations of Luciferian doctrine. Number one, there's sin, the issue of sin. You want it. You want what is offered in it. You want what is there. You know, there is a truth to that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You want the things that you have, and sometimes you think that, you know, again, Jesus said, what would it profit if you gained the whole world? If you got everything, you're not going to keep it. There's no question about it. Look around you. Get to the logical conclusions. Look around you. You're not going to keep it. There's just simply no way that you're going to keep it. So it's very important for you to understand that Jesus came as the sin bearer of the world. He's the substitute for the sum total of your sins, whatever they are, and that he has come to forgive you and free you and give you a power over that. I don't love sin. I don't like sin. I don't care about sin. I've seen its effects. Let me tell you this principle about sin. It always brings destruction. It always leaves us in deception. Sin itself is a deception. It is a rebellion against God. Maybe you're out there, you just hate God and you want to sin all you can. I've met individuals like that. They hate God. They scream at God. In the rituals, Satan leads you through some of the rituals to blaspheme God. So sin may be one of the issues why you don't want to turn to the infinite, living, personal God and instead embrace your finiteness, your limitations. And I'm going to tell you very clearly this truth. You will never reach infinity. You will never reach deification. You will never reach deity. You will not spiritually evolve. You haven't yet. No guru. No Hindu master. No Gnostic. No Luciferian has. No Masonic leader has. Number one, your sin. Maybe you want your sin. Number two, maybe it's the autonomy. That's what it's all about, the ripping out your roots. I have trees all around my house, and I would think that if a tree could all of a sudden say, I don't want to be this tree. I don't want to be located here. I don't want the limitations of being here. I want to be on the other side of the lake. And all of a sudden rip its roots up and pull itself up out of the ground and decide to go off onto the road, and it wants to be a building instead of a tree. The moment you rip those roots out, you begin to die. That's why God, the infinite God, said to humanity in the beginning that if you take the tree, if you embrace the lie, you shall surely die. In the Hebrew, the literal phrase means, in dying you shall die. There shall be an immediate death of your connection to God, of your ability to bear the image of God and be embrace the awesome presence of God, and you will die, and in that dying you will physically decay, and in dying you shall die. Autonomy, is that what you really want? Autonomy from God? As a human being, don't you realize that even the vestiges of the image of God, the sense of your origins, your ancestral origin is in God. Your ancestral origin is in God. The Christ of the cross is all about this living God wanting to bring you back home. Back home, my friend. Back home. If you want the autonomy, if you want to be ripped out, if you want to be like Satan and rip yourself from God, you shall disintegrate. You shall never become what God wants you to become and enables you to become. Let me tell you again. Autonomy, independence from God. Independence from God. Look where it's led Lucifer. Look behind the mask. Look at the man behind the curtain. Disintegration. Read Ezekiel 28 and see the disintegration that occurred. Look at the insatiable lust. Look at the bloodlust of Satan himself. Look what he wants. Is it autonomy from God that you really want? Is it self, the exaltation of self that you're really into? Maybe it's your sin, number one. Maybe it's your autonomy. You think that independence from God is the way to go, that you don't want to be constricted by God. Let me tell you something. You're constricted all around you. Think about the constrictions that you do have now, the limitations you have right now. You've been sold a lie, my friend. Mason, Brotherhooder, you've been sold a lie. Number three, maybe it's the belief, maybe you really do believe Lucifer is going to give it to you. You really honestly believe. You've been impressed with the presence of Lucifer, the presence of the mask, the one that changes himself into to an image of light, to an angel of light. You've been impressed. And so you really believe that Jesus is nothing. You really believe that Lucifer is everything. You really believe that. And if that is what you believe, that is what you're left with, that is what you're going to engage, you will receive the outcome of your beliefs eventually. Number four, for many of you and young Satanists I've met so many places and young ladies and so forth, listen, for many of you it's anger because of this fallen world and all that it's done to you. It's the way Satan attacked Job and caused so many bad things to occur in his life, only to do one thing, to get him to hate God, to get him to blaspheme God, to get him to make God look like the bad guy. You live in a fallen world, in an abnormal world. This is not the place that was meant in the creation. God loves you, and Christ came for you, and God wants you back. Infinite being is infinite relationship. Promises the gift of immortality, of glorification, of an ascendancy beyond the Adamic nature. Redemption takes us higher than anything else outside of God Himself. Sons and daughters generated. You can read about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 on down. Partakers of divine nature. Have you not understood? Listen, Satanist. Listen, Luciferian. Listen, New Ager. Listen, Gnostic. Listen, Wiccan. Listen, Pagan. Listen to me just for a moment, because I plead to you with the presence of God coursing through my being. Maybe it's anger. God can heal your anger. God can bring a beauty to you. God can release you from the anger. God can touch your life and give you insight. Jesus Christ has absorbed the sins of the world and has come to bring you relief and pour His presence into you. Let me tell you again. Maybe it's the sixth thing. Maybe you really, really, really believe that God is so big, so vast, so infinite. Maybe your understanding is that God is so out there that He doesn't care. He doesn't care about you and your problems. He doesn't care about you and who you are and what you're all about. I'm going to tell you right now, the infinite, limitless God. That's why He's able to love you the way He does. That's why He was able to do the incarnation and come and be among us. That's why He shared in that pain. That's why He took up your sins. That's why He knows what it is to be crucified. And He knows what it is in this fallen world. He knows how to transform your life. I will ask you again. I will tell you again that the infinite God offers to you the gift of immortality, the gift of everlasting life, the gift. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you take a look into the life of the real Christ of Scripture, you see someone who always existed. Was spoken about in the Old Testament thousands of years before He came. He came to redeem you. He came to bring you home. He came to give you the gift of eternal life. He came to engage you. In an instant, He can come into your life. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to Him. Renounce Lucifer and all the powers of hell. Renounce all the doctrines of Lucifer. Take a look at all of where it's taken you. I cry out to you right now. I speak to you as a fellow human being, that the living God can course through your being, love you, be inside of you. You could know that you have the gift of eternal life. Confess Christ, call on Christ, believe in Him. He loves you. He's alive. He can come to live in you. That's why the demons fear Him, because of who He is. That's why they fear and despise His blood, because of His blood and what it can do. God loves you, my friend. God loves you, my friend.